thank you guys for allowing me the opportunity to come here and visit with you briefly about this topic. I think the attendance in this room right now must be reflective of the quality of presentations coming after mine, because this is relatively simplistic in my mind. But I want to go through and obviously show you some results answering this question, but along the way build the case for why I thought it was important to look at. Start off by, in my mind, and I think most people, although if those really intelligent conversations that occur late nights in the lobby, I found somebody that disagreed with me on this last night, but I believe the purpose of ultrasound is to correctly rank animals and to depict differences between them, or to conserve variation that is observed in the corresponding carcass traits. Right, the idea oftentimes we get at somebody went to a county fair and their animal was scanned with a 15-inch ribeye and it goes to harvest and only had a 13, and so people say that ultrasound thing doesn't work. Well, that's not the goal of ultrasound, is to absolutely predict the carcass value, particularly with respect to some kind of county fair contest. The goal is, as I point out here, to correctly rank animals and then to clearly depict the differences between them. We'll go through just a little bit of review in terms of image quality scores before we get started. For those that aren't as familiar with them, these are subjective scores given to an ultrasound image indicating the relative quality of that image. And when I say quality, those subjective measures were developed to determine how good should this image be able to be predicted, okay, or traced. And so it's a 1 to 7 scale where acceptable images are scored 1 and 2, marginal is 3 through 5, and 5 is kind of the breaking point where is it good enough to be interpreted or should it be rejected? And then rejected images are classified as 6s and 7s. And those images are not interpreted, and consequently, that data is lost and not gone into a national cattle evaluation. So, and I realize that my font, maybe the pink doesn't show up as well in here. It's my fault, but I'll blame it on the lighting. And the rest of these colors, if you get a seizure because of all the bright colors, I apologize a priori for that. But this is a ribeye image, and so what has been outlined on here are what we would consider landmarks. And you can see, and it's a little bit hard here to point, but the acorn fat there would be a landmark. These railroad tracks down here, okay, the railroad tracks down there, the intercostal muscle boundaries. And so those are things that we're able to use to determine how we should trace this ribeye. So the yellow line is here is actually the trace of the ribeye, and a technician in a lab, a certified technician, would sit down and trace this, and then a calculation in terms of square inches of ribeye area would be determined from this. So this would be considered an image that is certainly acceptable and able to be traced, and that data could enter a national cattle evaluation then. As we look at ultrasound ribeye area, indicators of image quality problems would be the image is taken on or across a rib. So as we go back and look at these intercostal muscles here, if it's on or across a rib, you'll see a rib poking through there, which would distort the shape of the ribeye muscle. And as consequently, you might assume the actual area of that ribeye wouldn't be able to be determined with as much accuracy. Maybe the full ribeye muscle is not visible, perhaps because of poor contact between the probe and the animal, or maybe they're just flat in the wrong position. So if we look at what I call here UP fat or ultrasound P fat, this is the intermuscular fat, percentage of intermuscular fat here. So this is a longitudinal image. And again, I go through and show you some of the same boundaries that we look for. You can see the ribs here. And so you look for a crisp line of the ribs. You want to make sure up here you see the spinalis, that the spinalis doesn't cross too far across the image. And then you can see clear boundaries of the fat line and the hide line there. And so a box basically is set inside there, and then software would interpret the percentage of intermuscular fat, which of course is our measure of marbling in terms of what we're able to do with the live animal. So indicators of problems, instead of seeing those ribs, we'd actually see lumbar vertebrae. They're a little bit flatter at the top, and that's an indication that we're in the wrong place. The image could be blurred, the animal moved, or the technician moved. And, of course, if it's blurry, that might give the illusion there's more intermuscular fat there than what there really is. Or excessive presence of the spinalis in the image. And usually guidelines are if the image is taken up by a third of the spinalis, it's a marginal image. And if it goes up to half of the image, that image would then be rejected. So from the title of the talk, what I was concerned about is these image quality scores and any potential impact it would have on the genetic evaluation of cattle. And so from a contemporary grouping standpoint, with regards to ultrasound, what is included in that contemporary group? Well, if contemporary grouping is done correctly, that ultrasound technician's machine is included in it. And when I say machine, the machine, the capture card, and then later on actually any interpreting software would all be confounded within a contemporary group. That field technician, him or herself, should be included. The lab technician, as I said, the interpreting software. So any innate biases that could be created by any of these things would be washed out in a genetic evaluation because they're contained within a contemporary group. But the premise behind this is within a contemporary group, there could be a multiple range of image quality scores. So take for intermuscular fat, for instance, there may be a contemporary group that has image quality scores of 1 through 5. And so if there is truly a difference in how those images can be predicted based off of image quality, then there is an inherent bias that is unaccounted for being put into these contemporary groups. And so that's the premise of why I wanted to look into this. So simplistically, the questions are, do subjective image quality scores, I term it IQ, not a measure of intelligence, do those impact the bias of prediction? And if so, would this need to be accounted for if multiple IQ scores are included in a contemporary group? So the data that I was fortunate enough to get a hold of is from the Ultrasound Guidelines Council field certification. So certifications that field technicians go through to be approved in order to submit data to breed associations to go into national cattle evaluation. And this data was collected from these certifications in Ames, Iowa from 2002 to 2006 and included over 5,000 images for each of the following traits, ribeye area, 12th rib fat, and then percentage of intermuscular fat. And this data set would only include image scores of 1 through 5 because those images scored 6 and 7 aren't interpreted, so then I can't compare those values against the corresponding carcass measurement. So just to give you a little bit of a flavor of what this data set looked like here, this would be anything with a U in front of it is ultrasound, anything with a C is carcass. So we have the mean value for ultrasound ribeye area and the mean value for carcass ribeye area in the data set, and their associated standard deviations, and as you can see, they're actually pretty comparable. The same thing for 12th rib fat, ultrasound 12th rib fat, and carcass fat, again, very comparable. And then the only time we see a little bit of deviation is in terms of intermuscular fat here, measured in ultrasound and measured in carcass, and there is a little bit of a difference, but not a really great one. The other thing is we see a little bit of a change in terms of variance metric here in terms of standard deviation between those two, but this is what the data set over those few years looked like in terms of the mean values for these respective traits. So the analysis here, and this is kind of comical because I actually do have a Mac, and I told somebody that this was my technician, but because of new interstate travel laws and taking primates across state lines, I had to come and give the talk. He wasn't able to, so write your congressman about that issue. What I did, though, and it's really fairly straightforward, is simply use the GLM procedure of SAS to try to determine if image quality was actually having a significant impact on the bias of prediction. And what I did was use the absolute value of bias calculated as the ultrasound measurement minus the corresponding carcass measurement and took the absolute value of that. The reason why I used the absolute value is there are differences in a particular image quality score that could create an over or under inflation of the prediction. And so consequently, to remove that, I just used the absolute value. Potential explanatory variables that were provided in the data set would be machine, the the lab technician that actually did the interpretation, the animal, the year, and then the corresponding carcass measurement for intermuscular fat is not marbling in our context. It's percentage of intermuscular fat is measured by ether extract, right? So it actually isn't a percentage. So that's the carcass measurement that I used here. And I'll explain this as we go on, but I formed a new categorical variable for the analysis of bias with regards to intermuscular fat that basically split up into eight categories, a range of ether extract data. And I'll explain to you why I did that here in just a little bit. All right, just some summary statistics quickly for the trait of ultrasound ribeye area. We have five different image qualities here, their frequency in the data set. Then we have the mean absolute bias, and then the standard deviation of that bias. And so just from glancing at it in terms of a table of summary, if there really was a strong relationship between image quality and bias, you would expect that as you go down through the image quality scores, you would expect this mean bias to go up, right? As the image gets worse, it's predicted worse. But we don't really see that relationship here. Same thing in terms of 12th rib fat, the frequency again, and you can see from not only this table but the previous one, the data is kind of centered in this image quality of 2 and 3. And again, we see perhaps a little bit of a trend here in terms of increasing bias as the images become worse, but I'll show you some linear mixed models here in just a little bit. And then the final one for percentage intermuscular fat, and this trend in terms of means looks exactly opposite of what maybe you would think it would. These means at least suggest that as image quality gets worse, these predictions get a little bit better. I'll try to put this in context for you as we go down through the presentation. I mentioned this category that I developed. I just wanted to see if in terms of predicting bias with regards to percentage of intermuscular fat, does it matter how much marbling that animal had? Do some of these models not do as well in terms of low intermuscular fat or high intermuscular fat, some of these software models? And so I developed this categorical trait here to explore that, and I tried to force it to be normal just because I have eight categories and it makes me feel good if they're normally distributed. And I kind of accomplished that. But here's the range to fall into category 1, 0 to 1.5% of ether extract fat, and then we go all the way up to the last category, which is greater than 7.5%. And those involved with ultrasound, you're probably a really, really popular technician if you go out and scan a bunch of cattle and come back and tell those people that they all scan greater than 7.5%. They'll probably keep having you back, all right? And so just to put this in a pictorial representation, we have the frequency here on the y-axis, the category on the x-axis, skewed indeed, not perfectly normal, but it's all right. It's all right. So the results, the meat of what I wanted to show you. For ribeye area, the model that predicts bias, I fit a model that included the interpreting technician, a nested effect of animal within year, and then put image quality in there. And this is the R-squared value I got, just a little over 32%. But the fact of the matter is, in that model, image quality wasn't significant. So if you change it to the more appropriate model and drop that out, really the best model for predicting bias is the impact of the interpreting technician and then this nested effect of animal within year. And really you can see that image quality, although statistically not significant, also numerically didn't contribute to that prediction either, because the R-square then is 32% once you drop it out of the model. And I'll go through this a little bit more, but I think it stands to reason if you think about somebody sitting there and manually tracing a ribeye, they have a pretty large impact, all right, on the bias. That's this effect here. This nested effect, I think, can be explained by the potential impact of the people that measured the carcasses, right? Because the fallacy is that we think that carcass is the answer, right? whatever the carcass measurement is, that is the answer. It's not without air, all right? If anyone's ever measured a carcass before, there's potential sources of air. And I think that's what we're seeing here with this effect, this year, really animal contained within year. All right, for 12th rib fat, a bit surprising here. Again, I stick metrics in here. Image quality this time is actually significant, p-value of 0.0018. R squared value is 53.64%. And that's a bit surprising to me, why image quality would have an impact on the prediction of 12th rib fat. And I think if you go back and think about how fat these average animals were at close to half an inch, that's probably a lot fatter than what anyone scans in terms of seed stock that's turned in for national cattle evaluation. And some people, I'm looking back here, that trace a lot of images. Those really fat animals, when you see a lot of reflectance, I imagine, perhaps so that's an impact there. But I went ahead and dropped image quality out to look at numerically how it would change the R-squared value, and it doesn't that much. So although it's significant in the model, numerically it doesn't contribute a great deal to that R-squared value. Now in terms of intermuscular fat, which is probably one that I was more interested in, this is a model here with interpreting technician, the actual machine, the animal, this category that I developed, and then image quality, R-squared value of a little over 53%, close to 54%, but again, image quality was not significant in the model, and so the optimal model or the correct model would be just that dropped out, and then we get an R-squared down here of a little over 52%. So again, interpreting technician, the one deciding where to place that box to calculate the predicted value, the actual machine that's being used, and it's perhaps, and from this data it was tough to nut out, but it's, I would hypothesize it's not so much the machine, but interpreting software is oftentimes confounded within a particular machine. And so my guess is that effect of machine is really an effect of interpreting software for this particular trait. The animal and then that category, again, I think because some software doesn't do as good a job in extreme values of intermuscular fat. And it makes sense. When models are developed, more than likely they're going to be developed around the mean of some population, all right? So if average cattle are 4%, and that's what that model is built around, as you deviate from that, the model's going to do worse. And so I think that's what we're seeing here with this category effect. So I already kind of explained this, the significance of why this category was a significant predictor of bias of prediction. The other thing I looked at was used a reduced model here just because I ran into some degrees of freedom issues and used machine, category, animal, and then the interaction of machine and category. This is the R-squared value here of close to 40%. This, to me, needs to be explored more because if you take nothing else back today, understand the importance of what this is. This is saying that some machines, all right, do better within certain categories of intermuscular fat than others. Oops, sorry. That's exactly what this suggests. That's a potential issue. That's an issue that needs to be explored. That means that some software out there may not conserve as much carcass variation as others. Right? That's a potential problem. And there's a way to explore that. Take all approved software, do a head-to-head comparison, and look at it. That answers that question. We've yet to been able to do that, but it needs to be done. So cautions with all of this, right? This conclusion is dependent on the skill set of interpreting technicians. So the interpreting technicians in here for these field certifications are picked, basically, on skill level, right? Some average Joe like me just doesn't come in there and decide to do it. It's the good ones, all right? So that could potentially have an impact on some of these conclusions that I've made. The human interaction could be accounting for image quality differences. Some of those really good technicians, even though the image quality isn't really good for ribeye, they know what a ribeye looks like, right? And they'll trace according to that. Systems in this data set are not clearly defined in the data. And what I mean by a system is a machine, image capture card, and then the appropriate software. So the interaction between machine and category may be an artifact of this not being clearly defined. So conclusions, I really could have taken one slide to answer the question in my title there. Image quality is not significant in the explanation of prediction bias. All right, it's not. So the fact is, from this, different image quality scores in a contemporary group is not going to put an unaccounted for source of variation into genetic evaluations. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. A next brief explanation, again, of some of the variables that were found to be significant in these models. Animal differences include perhaps hide thickness differences or errors in terms of the way that carcass was measured, in terms of ribbing or hide pull, tearing off part of the fat. Obviously, the interpreting technician, I think that's relatively intuitive that that could have a large impact. The machine, obviously some bias created by the system, whether it be that machine itself or in the case of intermuscular fat, actually the interpreting software. And then category, the fact that some animals are outside of the range used for model development. And I think that stands to reason. So implication, again, multiple image quality scores within a contemporary group should not create an unaccounted for source of bias going into NCE. And the other thing is, this image quality score is used as a metric to determine the proficiency, or one of the metrics to determine the proficiency of an ultrasound technician. And I think that with this kind of conclusion, there are other metrics that are much more important, and we've known that for quite some time. Other metrics that are more important than this in terms of what proportion of images can be interpreted, standard error prediction, standard error repeatability, those kind of things. And this really at best becomes tertiary. Further thoughts, so what is the role of image quality then? Well, I think it's still useful for training purposes and for lab quality control. All right, training those people that are going to be in the lab doing the interpreting so they understand the appropriate boundaries and what can be traced and what cannot be. So where do we go from here? Well, do these conclusions change in the framework of auto interpretation? And what I mean by that is shoot side software interprets the image and gives it right back to you. In that context, is image quality more important? Very well could be. And so these conclusions may be irrelevant if we ever move to that kind of framework. Do significant differences exist between software with regards to variation conserved? I really believe that this needs to be answered because I think that's important. If some software pushes it towards the mean more than others, it's not a good thing, right? And we need to know that. So I'd like to thank the Ultrasound Guidelines Council Board for allowing me to do this and providing the data. Dan Moser, actually at K-State, provided the data that was used in this. He had it hidden away somewhere, and I was able to get a hold of it. Daryl Busby and crew from Iowa State that actually do the carcass data collection for a lot of these field certifications, and then Daryl Strobein at Iowa State that has helped coordinate some of these as well. So with that, I sincerely appreciate your attention, and I would open it up for any potential questions, either now or I'll be around for the weekend. Thank you.